How's everybody doing? Take a look at me real quick. How you doing?
Good.
Doing well? Doing well?
Woo!
John, that was fantastic as I saw about 13 people clutch their hearts. Thank you for that.
Praise the Lord.
Everybody's heart's okay. Good. I'm on a journey right now of just, it's important that we connect. It's important that we just don't go to church, but we really connect. I love how Jesus, he sat down and he would teach. He was near people. He didn't just kind of step away. He was always near people and he listened to them. So I want to share my heart with you today. It's not really a sermon. It's my heart of joy. And I pray that you just are filled with joy today. Even in the mundane, everyday life, that you can experience and know that God has given you already as his children joy. Now, I get it. I watched as the women's Olympic team beat Canada. I saw the very end of it. And that Canadian, that poor girl from Canada, she took off her silver medal and just, and all the Americans were going joyfully. Sorry, but we beat Canada. Yay. Okay. The joy that was expressed as we won the gold medal. I've watched a movie a couple times. I love this movie. It's called The Greatest Showman. And if you haven't seen it, I would encourage you to do that. Take away the historia from, take all that away and just celebrate. I love music. The music in it is amazing. I've listened to one song probably 50 times this week. This Is Me is the name of the song, but I've also gone and I've watched as they were presenting the movie to Fox executives to see if they would actually make the movie. And so as they're singing the songs, these people, they recorded this, and they're having what looks like to me a church service. As they're singing these songs of This Is Me, people's hands are being raised. They're shouting at each other. They're crying. I mean, it was a spiritual experience of joy that these folks were having together. You see, because joy is all around us. Have you seen the videos of a parent coming home from deployment and they surprise their children as they either come into their classroom or they didn't know they were coming, and you see the tears of joy taking place amongst the family members as their mom or dad comes home. See, joy is all around us, right? If you look for it, you can find joy. And joy is not just a Christian experience. It's a gift to all. Joy is what can be experienced by all. But here's the difference between God's joy and the joy of that everyone can experience is that we can all experience moments of joy, but when that moment is gone, then joy usually goes with it. And then if we have a video of it or if we have a memory of it, it can restore back to moment of joy. But the joy that God gives is that his joy will always remain with us no matter what season of life we're in. That we can live in a remaining joy. Not an emotion necessarily. Not this euphoria of we won, we're number one USA Olympic women's team. It's not that. Or men's curling team, which is the greatest. That is the greatest thing I've ever seen is curling. Have you seen curling? That is an amazing sport as they roll this rock or slide this rock and they go with a broom. It's amazing, right? A rock and a broom. Anyways, doesn't take much to make me happy. But the joy that Jesus promises us is this, that the joy I give you, and it's part of the kingdom. Romans chapter 14, the kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That this joy remains. And so what Jesus tries to tell us all as his people is that we don't live for joy, we live from joy. So though I experience joyful situations. Though I can have moments where I just, man, this is awesome. Those are great times. But when those days are not in my life, joy can still be an underlining strength. As Nehemiah 8 says, is that the joy of the Lord is our strength. That we can have an underlining strength of joy no matter what life has for us. That's the promise of the kingdom. So just as we don't live for peace, we live from peace. And like we don't live for love, we live from love. We don't live for joy, we live from joy. And so we're going to take a couple moments and we're going to go to some scripture verses that really mean a lot to me. The book of John. The book of John is someplace I return to often. Ephesians and John are two books that I just read over and over and over again. And there are certain chapters 13 through 17 of the book of John, that really capture my heart. If you could see my Bible, it is underlined, marked up, notes everywhere, because it's not Jesus the pastor. It's not Jesus the miracle worker. It's not Jesus the provider. It's not Jesus the one who's healing the sick. This is Jesus. These 13 through 17, it's Jesus with his closest friends. It's Jesus where he is sharing the most intimate moments of his life. And I want to preface this thought about joy with this, is that in this time, chapters 13 through 17, Jesus personally is undergoing a situation where he's about to go to the cross. So personally, he has got a lot of anguish. He's got a lot of stuff going on in his mind. In fact, if we remember at the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus said, "Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me." Before he says those words, he turns to disciples. Think about this. He says, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." That Jesus wasn't mechanically going through, "Oh, I got to go to the cross, check. I got to die on the cross, check." He was feeling the emotion and the suffering he's going to go through. That even him, the Son of God, was said, "My soul is overwhelmed to the point of death. Stay with me." And his disciples fell asleep, as we know. And Luke says that when he's praying in the garden, that it was so intense that his sweat was drops of blood. So Jesus is in a high tension moment. Jesus is in a mental anguish, a place where he's about to step into taking all the sins of the world, past, present, and future, upon himself, so no longer will sin reign. So the sin you might commit tomorrow has already been paid for by Jesus. And everybody in the world, the sin that has been in the past has already been paid by Jesus. So Jesus was taking this upon himself. And in the meantime, his disciples in this moment are fighting over who's going to be the greatest. The disciples are going at each other. The disciples are not really sure what's happening. The disciples promise Jesus, "If you die, I'll die with you." And though Jesus tells them, "No, you're going to disown me as well," Jesus tells them ahead of time so they wouldn't have shame or guilt. This is the emotional time in which Jesus is talking about. This wasn't some guys hanging out, having dinner, drinking a beer and hanging out. I said beer. I did say that. I don't drink beer, but I did say that word. Let it out. Let the breath out. It's okay. Jesus drank wine and it was real wine. It wasn't grape juice. Let it out. It's okay. It's okay. It's going to be okay. So in the midst of these emotions, right, Jesus says, "I want to tell you how you can have joy." In the midst, you might be grieving, you might be in sorrow, you can have joy. And not the joy like everything's happy, but this joy of a calm delight, a strength in your life. So would you join with me in John chapter 15, and I'm going to be reading from the Passion Translation. We're only going to hit three verses, 9, 10, 11. So this is our first thought, okay? Would you read this out with me from the Passion? I know it keeps cutting out, but I think my voice will carry, okay? John chapter 15, would you read this out loud with me? Read it together. Here we go. "I love each of you with the same love that the Father loves me." See, read it again, would you? "I love each of you with the same love that the Father loves me." Pause right there. This is really, really, really vital. That God loves you with the same intensity, the same focus, the same passion that he loved his son. That Jesus Christ was completely loved by the Father, and God says through Jesus, I love you the same way that the Father loves me. There should be somebody who goes, yeah, to that. You are loved without condition. You are loved with an intensity. You are loved by Jesus, who says, as the Father loves me, I love you. Now listen, remember, the disciples are fighting over who's going to be number one. Judas is about to betray Jesus, given to temptation and betray Jesus. There is an argument, there is fighting, there's bickering. There's disciples who said, I will follow you even unto death. And Jesus said, you won't. And Jesus said to these same guys who weren't getting it, as I have been loved by my Father, I love you. So dear ones, the love of God is not based upon your performance or upon who you are. The love of God is based upon his character and his nature for you. It's never been about us. When I was gone in Southern California, I was with a group of people. There were 11 of us, seven of us from different places. And all of them were somewhat mature in Christ. They knew the Bible. They were serving. They were giving. They were working in the church. And as we were talking about the topic of love, one of the people stopped the conversation and said, I've just realized something. I've always saw love as a reward. That if I did what was right, I would be rewarded with love. That if I just name the thing, A, B, C, D, if I did this or did that, then God would love me. And here's what Jesus is telling them right up front. Love is not a reward. Love is not something you earn or get because of something. Love is who God is, and he can't stop loving you. Because if he stopped loving you, his whole nature would have to turn. And God is love. And it's important to understand this, that Jesus starts with these words, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. That this love is going to be the foundation for everything, because then the next state he moves into is this topic called obedience. Obedience many times carries a negative connotation. If you don't obey, there are negative consequences that can take place in your life. If you choose to disobey your parents and you're a young person, the consequences can be A, B, C, or D. But Jesus is trying to teach the disciples that we don't obey for love, we obey from love. That our obedience is not to get God's love. Like, God, see, I'm trying, I'm working, I did it, I prayed, I gave, I went. It's not what God is looking for. He's looking for a people who understand that when you're in love with him and you receive his love, that the outflow of this love is obedience. Right. Obedience to what? His commands. Right. That it's really evident in our lives that our obedience to his commands are the evidence of our love. Now listen, how many of you have had little kids at any time in your life? How many was a little kid in your life? Do you ever recall at any time in your life where your parents told you to do something and you thought, nah? Was there ever a time in your life when your parents said, do this, and for an extended period of time you said, I'm on it. Of course I'll do that. Of course I'll obey you, Mom and Dad. Of course, everything they said was obedience. Does anybody ever have a pushback against your mom and dad's voice of obedience? Anyone? You get to go to heaven before everybody else. Congratulations, you win. Look what Jesus said. Let's do the next verse, Isaac. Look what Jesus said. Read it out loud with me, would you? You must continually let my love nourish your hearts. If you keep my commands, you will live in my love. Now, here's the point. When we as parents, if we really love our kids, We have a few more years of experience than our children do. And the goal as parents, when you love your kids, is to nurture them and to nourish them. And one of the things we do is we give them commands on how to live. We show them that this is the path of life. If you stray off it, you're going to cause yourself pain. So what loving parents do is they say, here's what life is about. Here's what we're going to help you with this. And often, if not every time in a child's life, a child will say, I know more than my parents do. My dad, when I turned 16, said, when you get about 22, you're going to realize how smart I am. But every child has this tendency to say, I know what's best for my life, and I'm going to do that. And if the commands of the parents and the desire of the children come into conflict, what you now create is a tension, harsh words. You create this sense of, this isn't right. Go to your room. Do what I say. And instead of a harmony and a peace and a calm delight in a family, an atmosphere is created because the child says, I know what's best. And the parent says, I know what's best. And the child says, I don't care. I'm going to do what I want to do. And the parent says, well, there's consequences to that. And now instead of harmony and love taking place, what you have is harsh words. You got tension. You got problems. And what loving parents will not do is say, then get out. I'm done with you. I don't care if you're five. Get out of my house. Parents need to stay in a relationship with their children, not only in discipline, but also in teaching them the ways of obedience. And if a parent will stay in relationship with their children, that child will eventually, willingly, Lord willing, understand that the parents' ways is the best way, and they will obey the parents' ways. We as a children of God have a loving dad. But the relationship with the love of God is not just one way. There is a give and there's a response. So he says, I love you without condition. How do we respond? Our response to that love, Jesus says, is through obedience to his commands, because we understand that our loving Father knows the right way in which we are to live. And when we obey, there's joy. When we don't obey, the Father's not up in heaven going, because of love, he is patient, he is kind, he is good, and he will continue to work in our hearts in love until we understand that his way is the way of life. Amen. He doesn't throw us away. He doesn't push us away. The Father stays in relationship with us so that we can now understand his way is the right way. Amen. What does it look like? Obedience. In John chapter 14, Jesus said, loving me empowers you to obey my commands. That love of God is not based upon us being perfect in obedience. Love of God is that he continues to work in our hearts to where we obey, not because we have to, but because we love him and we know he loves us. I love the practicality of God. I love that he doesn't just throw us away. I love that he is so committed to us. And here's my question. I think God's love for us is so great that he's not just trying to get us to stop sinning. I don't think that's his main goal. Sin was paid for at the cross, and we do need to confess our sin, and he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. But he's not looking for automatons who just don't sin. He's looking for people whose heart is so in love with him that they unwillingly obey him. And what does it create? It creates this joyful relationship with him no matter the circumstances. Jesus is our example. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 31, he says, the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what the Father has commanded me. And here, Philippians 2 says this, Your attitude should be that of Christ Jesus, who, though being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be held on to, but he humbled himself and became a man. And his humility reached to this point that he became obedient even to death on a cross. Think about this for a moment. His love for the Father was so great that the obedience he had for his Father in their relationship even took him to the cross. The cross and the pain and the suffering was not more than his love for his dad so that he would obey even unto death. Hebrews chapter 2 says this, that Jesus Christ is our example. Put your focus on Jesus. Set your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Dear ones, indeed, we're going to have times in life that are a struggle. We're going to have times in our life that are just mundane and blah. We're going to have days where we're going to grieve. We're going to sorrow. There's going to be those days. But we don't wait for joy to now get us out of those days. We can actually experience the joy of God in those days. Because it's an inheritance given to us as children of the kingdom. So here's Jesus. His joy was found not in his circumstances, but his joy was found in obeying his Father. And he had a joy even in the midst of suffering and pain. Authors have asked, what is it that joy was? And some people believe it was us, that we were going to come into relationship with him. The scripture really doesn't say what that joy was, but it could be just as simple as this, that he was fully obeying his Father, and that was his joy. In 1 John chapter 5, could you go there, Isaac? 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 through 5. Would you read this out loud with me? Let's declare it. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. How many of you believe Jesus is the Son of God? Okay, we got that. Okay, how many love Jesus, right? We love him. Okay, good. The evidence of that love, though, is found not just with words, but it's by obedience to his commands. And if his commands are like this, oh gosh, okay, I'll do it. Then what we don't just muscle through it, we make space. Father, that command does not give me joy. Would you forgive me and teach me that your commands are not burdensome? When Jesus commands us to love our enemies, can I tell you something? That has not been a good command for me. I would rather just skip that command. Instead of skipping it, ignoring it, putting it aside, make space for it. God, this specific command, I don't want to do. Forgive those who speak ill of you. Forgive them. I don't want to forgive them. I want to see them punished. And then after they're punished, oh, that's too bad. But right now I want to see them punished. So instead of just muscling through, make space. God, here's what I really want to do, but help me to love. Make space in my heart for love so that that command now becomes a joy to me and not a burden. You guys okay?
Yeah.
What I love about God is that as king, his rule is not manipulation or coercion. It's love. Unlike other governments where the more powerful you become, the less access you have to the leader, Jesus invites us into a living relationship with him, and his joy will be the result of the relationship. So you're never going to meet high-powered leaders. You never are. Jesus is the greatest of all leaders, and he says, I want to have a relationship with you. And when you have a relationship with me, one of the factors that you will see happening over and over again is joy. So, Isaac, can you do the last part? Verse 11 of John chapter 15 says, my purpose. Keep going. One more. Do you have one more? Did I give you enough verses? Then I didn't give you enough verses. Isaac, come on, man. Here's the last verse. My purpose for telling you these things is that the joy that I experience will fill your hearts with overflowing gladness. Joy is not the goal. Obedience and love is. We're not looking for joy. Joy will be the outcome of a love relationship that obeys. We don't go after peace. Peace is not the outcome. Love is where peace comes from. So when the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy, these are not separate things that we go after. It's a love relationship with God that will be the fruit of that relationship. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kind, right? It's this fruit. It's the evidence of relationship. So I don't have to compromise my life because I need some joy. We stay in obedience to God. We stay in relationship. And where we are disobedient, just own it. Say, forgive me. Walk to the Father. Tell him, I'm sorry. I don't really want to do this right now. Even Jesus said that. Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. God, I don't want to do this. Yet, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Even Jesus had to wrestle with it. But as we submit ourselves in obedience to love, what we find is the underlying joy. And listen, here's the cool thing about joy. It's not just for you. That joy will spread out to everybody. It's that your joy. Jesus said, I will give you my joy and your joy will be complete. Now the disciples, instead of fighting amongst themselves, their relationships are going to be based upon joy, not upon who's number one. So what do we see? I'm done with this. What do we see in the book of Acts? We don't have this. Isaac goes to Acts chapter 4. The disciples are called into the religious leaders and they tell them, I think it's Acts 4. And they said, stop talking about Jesus. Stop it right now. And the disciples said, judge for yourself what's right. But as for us, we must obey God. After obeying God, they got beaten. They got flogged. And the Bible says the disciples left being flogged, rejoicing that they were account worthy of suffering for the name of Christ. Hold on a sec. They just got the pudding beat out of them. They got beaten and beaten and they leave rejoicing. Wait a sec. How does joy work into this? Joy came from their obedience to God, not by the circumstances. So you can have circumstances that are just awful. That can impact joy for a moment, but you don't have to live there. You can live in joy because you're saying, I'm in obedience. I'm in good relationship right here. We're good. And so whatever comes out here, man, that hurts. That's painful. But underlying everything, I've got a joy because we're living in a loving relationship with God. Now what happens? You've got an abiding joy. And that joy comes from him, and that joy now is spread to others. And so what we see so often in the Christian faith is we see people going through tremendous difficulties and people who don't know God saying, how is it that you're walking with joy? How is that happening? Well, it's not because we're superhuman beings. We're people who are in a loving relationship with God, and this is part of his kingdom, his joy. So, let's make space for a couple questions. Is there any areas where you have knowingly chosen a different way than the Father? Is there any areas where you know it, where the Father is so clear where he says, I need you to forgive that person. And you go, nope, not going to do it. Well, the Father doesn't say, do it now or I'm done with you. That's not his love. His love is going to continue to work in that area until you see that obeying him is greater than holding onto the fence. I can tell you what, though. Joy is going to be gone. And you might laugh at something, and you might see a joke, or you might hear something that makes you laugh, but you know deep in your heart, you don't have joy. So maybe there's some, make space here. God, just confess it. Talk to him. Be in relationship with him. God, I don't want to do that, but not my will. Your will be done. Help me here. The second thing is this. Relationships are intentional. How intentional have we been with the relationship with a Father who loves us? Because joy comes from him. And we do celebrate joyful moments, but joy that abides can only come from him. And dear ones, this is your inheritance. It's already been given to you. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace. Would you say the word with me? And
joy.
Where does it come from? Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. So how you doing? How's your joy? I love how practical it is. How's your joy? I'm not talking circumstances. I'm talking joy. I'm not talking everything's aligned right and all my bills are paid and I love my job and my kids are obeying and everything. And I'm not sick. Everything's great. Yay! Well, that's probably about 30 minutes out of the week. The rest of it is kind of... So you, if we're waiting for these things to come into alignment for us to have joy, we're going to be waiting a long time. It's better just to come into relationship with God and say, God, I need your joy. Any area of my heart, Lord, where I've not submitted to you, I'm going to choose today to give it to you today. Just today, right now, I'm choosing to give that to you today. Tomorrow, we'll do it tomorrow. Right now, I want to obey you. It really is. Can I share one of the words? I was so blown away at this training I went to, and you present your life, a bit of your life story. You got about 20 minutes to present your life story, and then people would, what is God saying? And we're going to unpack this. It's not a church growth program. It's not a next thing. It's how we can do life together, but also with people, all people, we can do life this way. And we're going to unpack it here in the coming days. But one of the most encouraging words I had was from, so I presented part of my journey, and this African-American lady was in this group, and she goes, Mike, I don't normally like people, but I like you. She goes, dude, if people don't like you, they got problems. Because the joy you have is infectious. The same lady, she goes, I know who you are. You're Santa Claus. And I go, who doesn't want to be around Santa Claus? You're fun, right? And it was just so much encouragement. Like, yeah, do you know how much joy our world needs? And it's not makeup or fake it till you make it. It's the joy of the Lord that comes out. And what does it do? It just starts spilling out. Liz Nelson cracks me up. Her husband's in the hospital. They're going through tests. And she's texting me like, I lost 5 pounds this week. God is good. And I just laughing my head off. And I write, all things work together for good to those who love, you know. And we're just having a blast. Well, you know, they're serious. But dear ones, joy doesn't have to be because life is just working out perfectly. It is our inheritance. It's ours. But it just doesn't happen. It happens in relationship. And God says, I'm giving it all to you, my love. Now, remain there. Let's remain in relationship. How can we remain in relationship? I've given you my commands. Follow them. And it's not follow him like he's a Nazi. He's not like pointed. It's like, I got the way of life for you. I really want, you're going to re, oh, this is going to be really good. You need to taste this. Follow it. Come on. Right? And we just say yes. And where we've said no, we don't break away. We don't think he's mad at us. We come back to, God, I need you to help me here because I really don't want to. Nevertheless, I really want your will. And if you miss it, do it the next day. If you miss it, do it the next day because love is patient. God is patient with us. This is like a test. You got one shot and you're out. He's patient with you. And he's patient with me. So close your eyes for a moment. I've got 3 minutes. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. The evidence of this ongoing relationship with you is joy. And Lord, I got a bunch of Santa Clauses here today. Who doesn't want to hang around Santa Claus? Who doesn't want to, ho, 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 you know, people love Santa. But Lord, it's based upon relationship. And life has ups and downs, and life has challenges. But Lord, your joy remains. That's your promise. So Lord, when we look and say and find areas of maybe we're not disobedient, this isn't an angry father who's pointing it out. That's not what this is about. This is a loving dad who is inviting us to deeper relationship. This isn't a disappointed father who's just pointing out our faults. This is a loving dad who welcomes us to greater revelation. And that revelation and obedience brings joy. And Lord, I pray for everyone here. There's some folks here today, Father, who are just trying to find joy by external means. And they're almost looking for escapes through these external means. When Lord, you offer them joy just deeply ingrained in their heart. And Jesus, you invite us because you are King of Kings. It's not like our governmental world where we'll never meet the President of the United States because he's surrounded by so much security. We got the King of Kings who says, I want to have a close face-to-face relationship with you. So teach us your ways, Father. In Jesus' name. Okay, eyes up, heads up, eyes up. How many want more joy? Stand with me. Go ahead and stand with me. You want more joy? You want more joy? Then I want you to take your hands like this. I mean, it's a physical thing. And I want you to go like this, like you're spreading your... Well, that sounds kind of gross, but you're... spreading your heart open a little bit more. Would you just do this and spread? Okay. Sorry. Why? Oh, either the Lord hit her with joy or she's making fun of me. I think it's number two. Okay. It could be both. Okay. Just make space right here. Just we're making space. Lord, we're making space for your love. We're just making space, God, for you to show us how much you love us. We're making space, God, for that love just to be overwhelming in our hearts. And Lord, as that love fills those cavities of our hearts where we just want to do it our way. We don't even think about it. We just want to do it our way. We make space here this morning to say, Lord, fill that place with love. And then that love is going to create just this desire to obey. And as we obey, then there's this beautiful symmetry. Because not only love is going one way from you to us, but now it's going back to you. And now there's this connection of love that we live in. And the result is joy. Lord, some of us, we need to have you help us to rethink obedience. We need to have you teach us that it's not a four-letter word, obey. It's an awful word, but Lord, it's where we find our freedom and our joy because we really believe in you. Yes. And Lord, where the burdens, the commands of the Lord seem to be burdensome, we make space for you to teach us that it's not. But Lord, it brings life.
Yes.
And joy. Could you just take a moment, take a deep breath, and just thank God for his great love for you today?
Thank you.
Just thank him. All you have to do is say thank you. That's all you got to do. And monitor your joy this week. Monitor not just events, not just moments, but monitor how are you doing in joy. And then if you find it waning, then just go back to the Father and make space, some more space. Lord, we just make space for you today. In Jesus' name. I'm going to ask the prayer team to come forward. And if you need prayer for anything, we're going to pray. If you just need someone to talk to and pray with you and agree with you about joy or anything else, if you need health or if you need someone to bless you, we're going to be right up here just to take a few moments, and we just want to pray for you and bless you. So if not, God bless you this week. Walk in the joy of the Lord and know that he loves you tremendously. So if you want to come forward and receive some prayer, we got some people here who are willing to do that and just love on you. If not, God bless you guys. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.